السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So in the previous session, alhamdulillah, we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ, the persecution that the Prophet ﷺ had gone through, the physical torture, and even at some points when they tried to choke the Prophet ﷺ. So we talked about how Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt tried to choke the Prophet ﷺ, and how Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu would come to the aid of the Prophet ﷺ and tell them that أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ, that do you kill a man that he because he says my Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we talk about Bilal radhiallahu anhu also. We talked about how he was being tortured because he became Muslim, and then eventually Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu bought his freedom. So we had some of the Sahaba who had strong families, they were protected by their families. Then you had some others who were slaves, for example, or weaker tribes, and because of that they didn't have anyone to protect them, so they were subject to a lot of torture in that time, like Bilal radhiallahu anhu, for example. Some notables like Uthman ibn Affan radhiallahu anhu also was tortured in a way not like Bilal radhiallahu anhu, but in a similar fashion, where his family members, they would wrap him in a rug. So they would force him to lay down, wrap him in a rug, and then they would take turns jumping on top of the rug, crushing his body basically. So they would do different things to torture their family relatives that had become Muslim. Alhamdulillah, they kept steadfast and they did not go back on their Islam. Now, another thing was called Jiwar. Jiwar was basically getting the protection. If you're from a weaker clan, from a weaker tribe, then you would seek the protection of a stronger tribe or a strong notable person, one of the elite members of the Meccan tribes, and under their protection you would be protected. So that was another thing that happened. And one of the famous examples is Uthman ibn Mad'un radhiallahu anhu, and he was given the protection. We talked about Walid ibn Mughira. He was the father of Khalid ibn Walid radhiallahu anhu. So we talked about how Walid ibn Mughira, he was one of those who he was the one actually who decided to call the Prophet ﷺ a sahir, that he's a magician, and he was one of the leaders of the Quraysh. But he also, you know, these guys had bad qualities and they had some good qualities in them. And one of them was, for example, Walid ibn Mughira. He extended his jiwar, his protection, to one of the Muslims by the name of Uthman ibn Mad'un. So Uthman ibn Mad'un, maybe they had some kind of business relations or they had something else. So he basically extended his protection to him. Now, one of the things that happened with Uthman ibn Mad'un, he was enjoying that protection. He was not being beaten like the other Sahaba, so he was protected for a while. One time he was sitting in a gathering where there was a poet by the name of Labid ibn Mughira. No relation to Walid ibn Mughira, but he was basically another poet. He was sitting there and he's giving his poetry, he's saying his poetry, and one of the poems that he recited, he said, "Ala kulli shay'in ma khalallahu batilu," that everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is batil, meaning that everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to die. Everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-haq, and everything else is batil. So he said this, and actually in one of the hadith in Sahihain, the Prophet ﷺ said that if you look at all the poetry, that the one Astaqul Kalam, from the poems, the most truthful poem is this, I don't know, stanza you call it? I don't know what they call it. Stanza? Jazakallah khair. So this stanza is basically the truest of all. Even though we as Muslims, we're not supposed to go into poetry, because poetry goes into other things, you know, about the dunya and the love of the dunya and sometimes love of women and that kind of stuff. But otherwise, if the poetry is used for getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, so the Prophet ﷺ said that the truest form or truest stanza that was ever said is this stanza by this poet, Labid ibn Mughira, where he said, "Ala kulli shay'in, kulli shay'in, kulli shay'in مَا خَلَى اللَّهُ بَاطِلُ, that everything other than Allah is batil. So as he said this, Uthman ibn Ma'un, rather than sitting in that gathering, he says, صَدَقْت, that you tell the truth, you said the truth. Now, he continued on, Labid continued on with his second part of his poem. He said, وَكُلُّ نَعِيمٍ لَا مَحَالَةَ زَائِلُ, that every na'im, every ni'mah of Allah, every blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, everything will be za'il, everything will go away one day. Now Uthman ibn Mat'un radhan, when hearing this in his mind, he said that this is not right, because the ni'mah of Jannah, the na'im of Jannah is everlasting. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us into Jannah, we'll live there forever and ever. So hearing this, he says to him, kadhabt. He says that you have told a lie. Na'imul Jannah la yazul, that the blessings and the luxuries of Jannah will never go away. They'll continue on forever. Now, at that point, an argument took place, because first of all, remember, the people of Makkah, they would highly admire poets and poetry, and that was one of the things, that they were really good with lugha, with language. So they're listening to this man, and you know, they would give, honor these poets, and nobody would dare say that you said something wrong. So when Uthman Radhan said this, one of the other people got upset, and he got up and he punches Uthman Radhan in the eye. I don't know which eye, but he punches him in the eye, and he got a black eye because of that. He got hurt by that. And Walid ibn Mughira was actually sitting there in that gathering. And he says, Ama wallahi yabna akhi, in kana ta'inuka amma asabaha laghaniya. He said that, you know, this wouldn't have happened. Okay? Sorry, I forgot to mention one part. So right before this, this poet was giving his poetry, maybe one day before, something like that, Uthman ibn Mat'un went to Walid ibn Mughira, and he said that, you know, I've been thinking about just Jawar, this protection that you have given me, and I decided that I don't want anything except the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I revoke this Jawar, this protection. I don't want it anymore, and I am under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Walid ibn Mughira asked him to come with him to the Kaaba. And they announced it publicly that he is no longer under my protection. Meaning, if someone wants to beat him up, they can beat him up. I'm not going to retaliate. Okay, so the next day, or you know, a little while after that, this incident occurs where he gets punched in the eye. Now, Walid ibn Mughira was sitting there, and he says to Uthman ibn Mat'un, he says that your eye wouldn't have been beaten like this, you wouldn't have gotten this punch in the face, if you kept my jawar, if you kept my protection. So he says that, you know, this wouldn't happen if you stayed under my protection. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي ذِمَّةٍ مَنِيعَ, that you were in a protection that was strong. Meaning my jawar, my protection that I had extended to you, no one would have dared touch you if you continued to stay in my protection. But look what happened to you now. So he says this, Uthman Radhan, not regretting anything at all, not regretting that he revoked the protection. He says to him, بَلْ وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ عَيْنِي الصَّحِيحَةِ, he says that the other eye, the one that's still intact, and it's not, you know, he didn't get punched in the face, and on that eye, he says that the other eye, لَفَقِيرُةٌ إِلَى مِثْلِ مَا أَصَابَ أُخْتَهَا فِي اللَّهِ, he says that the other eye is, it's لَفَقِيرٌ, meaning it's in need of getting what the other eye got. Meaning, basically, my other eye needs to get punched, or I want my other guy to be punched just like the other one. Like, it's jealous of the other. That this one was punched in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other eye wants to be punched in the same sake. So, basically saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I did this for Allah, and I'm not regretting anything of giving back your jawar. Now, another family, you famously know, the Sahabi Ammar ibn Yasir radhiallahu anhu, his family, his mother's name was Sumayya radhiallahu anha, and his father was Yasir. So three of them became Muslim. And this family, actually what happened was Yasir radhiallahu anhu, the father, he was from Yemen, and they migrated to Mecca. I think he was in search for his brother, and then he decided to stay in Mecca. He liked Mecca, so he decided to stay in Mecca. So and now he's as an outsider. He doesn't have any protection, family protection. And then he got married to Sumayya radhiallahu anha. They had a son Okay, so now Yasir, actually they came into an agreement with a stronger protector. So they wanted the Jiwar. So they got into an agreement with Bani Makhzum, which is the tribe of Abu Jahl and Umar bin Khattab radhiallahu anhu. And they got this agreement where basically they're going to work for them, like kind of like slaves and whatever. They're going to work for them, do things for them, and they'll get protection. They'll get the Jiwar from that stronger family. So Ammar bin Yasir and his mother and father, they were under the protection of Abu Jahl and his family, but Abu Jahl was one of the staunchest enemies of Islam. So he himself, even though no one else could go and torture him, but he himself could torture because he's the one who gave that protection. So now Ammar bin Yasir and his father and mother, they're being tortured. Okay, and again I mentioned that this is not a timeline, because I'm talking so many different incidents at once. The timeline is not in order, but one of the incidents was Ammar radhiallahu anhu and his family's mother and father being tortured, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go walk by and he would see them tied up to a pole and they're being whipped, they're being beaten, they're being left in the hot sun, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to him, "Sabran ya ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah." He says that have sabr, be patient, for verily your maw'id, your end point, or your where you will meet in Jannah. You will be together in Jannah. All this whole family basically will go to Jannah. And one of the incidents that occurred at that point, and this led to the revelation of an ayah from Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 106, where Ammar radhiallahu anhu, his mother Sumayya radhiallahu anha actually spit in the face of Abu Jahl. And she did not renounce her religion. So he got upset and he actually stabbed her and killed her. So she was the first martyr of Islam. Sumayya radhiallahu anha, a woman, was the first martyr, first shaheed or shaheeda in Islam. And then also the father, Yasir radhiallahu anhu, he also was killed by Abu Jahl. So now the father and mother were killed right in front of his eyes. And the son, Ammar radhiallahu anhu, he was, you know, this is psychological torture. He's not only is he being beaten and left in the sun and all these things happen, but he just watched his parents die in front of him. So they kept on, Abu Jahl kept on telling him that we're going to keep on beating you until either you die or, you know, basically you give up your religion. He says no, he kept on doing. Then they said to him that, okay, just say one word, say one sentence against the Prophet. Say something evil or something against the Prophet and we'll let you go. We'll stop torturing you. They kept on torturing him, and then he couldn't give in anymore. So he said something that they wanted him to say. He said some sentence against the Prophet ﷺ, and they released him. Now, as soon as they released him, he didn't go home and relax and that. He went crying, looking for the Prophet ﷺ. So he's in the streets of Mecca, asking people, where is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? And he goes straight to the Prophet ﷺ. And he's crying, and Rasulullah asked him what happened. He said that I have said some words of kufr because of the torture. I couldn't take it anymore, and I said some words of kufr. I didn't mean to in my heart. I don't have anything like that, but I just said it to please them so they'll release me. So at that point, the ayah was revealed where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, "Man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman." Basically, that this person who says the words of kufr, but his qalb, his heart is mutma'innun bil iman. His heart is full of iman, but he says something so that, you know, to save his family, to save himself, to save his honor, the family's honor, something like that, then that person is not going to be held accountable. So Rasulullah basically told Ammar that don't worry, you have iman in your heart. You didn't mean to say it. They forced you into it. So you're not going to be held accountable for this. And he was pleased after that, alhamdulillah, that he still had his iman. Another incident that happened was a woman by the name of Zunaira or Zanira. There's different ways of saying it. Arumiya radhiallahu anha. And she was actually a slave girl of Umar bin Khattab radhiallahu anha. And he would beat her and beat her and beat her. And he would stop at the end of the day. And he would say that, "I'm not stopping because I have any pity over you, or that I want to, you know, let you rest, or I did too much torture to you. Only thing is, I'm tired now. I'm tired of beating you, so I'm going to go rest, and I'm going to come back in the morning." And then he would come back the next day, and he would beat her again, and beat her again. Now, Abu Bakr Siddiq, radhiallahu anhu, bought her freedom, And she lost her eyesight because of the beatings. She was being beaten so much, and you know, I'm sure getting hit in the face and the head. She lost her eyesight, and then they started making fun of her and making fun of the Muslims, saying, "Look, Allat wal Uzza, they did this to you. Our idols did this to you." So they kept on saying that to her, and she started making du'a to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala that La tushmit bi al-a'da, like don't let the a'da, don't let the enemies be pleased in my. The sickness or my eyesight being taken away. She kept on making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and her eyesight came back. But the kuffar, they weren't going to accept that. They just said, "This is sihr from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how you got your eyes back." Now, one of the incidents I wanted to mention, inshallah today, and I'll stop there, is the beating of Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. Okay, so Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu was one of the, again, when we think about torture, we think about Khabbab ibn Arat radhiallahu anhu, we think about Sumayya radhiallahu anha, we think about Ammar ibn Yasir, we think about these Bilal radhiallahu anhu. We don't think about these the high people of society being tortured in that way. But the Sahaba, all of them, even the Prophet himself, they would receive some type of beating, and they did get beat up and tortured in some way or another. So one of the things that's relayed by Aisha radhiallahu anha, she says that when the Muslims were 38 in number, okay, so there's 38 Muslims following the Prophet sallallahu and now Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, Allah ilay, meaning he kept on asking the Prophet, pleading with the Prophet, "Ya Rasulullah, allow us to go out in public and just go next to the Kaaba and publicly announce Islam and publicly give da'wah." Remember, we had the secret da'wah or the private da'wah. Okay, that was only to the family members and basically to the people he knew and trusted most. And then you had the open da'wah was given after that to fellow tribesmen, to family members, and then other tribes and that stuff. And then you had, but even during that time, the Muslims were not able to go publicly start talking about Islam. They wouldn't just go out and start giving a speech in the midst of the people. So now Abu Bakr is pleading with the Prophet, let us go and publicly announce Islam and give da'wah. After that, the Prophet says, okay, first he says that inna qalil, that we are small in number, it's best not to do this. But Abu Bakr keeps on insisting and keeps on pleading with the Prophet. So then he says, okay. So now they go to the Kaaba, the Prophet sits down, the Muslims go out to different areas near the Kaaba, and Abu Bakr stands and starts giving open khutbah. So this is the first khutbah in Islam. The first open khutbah in Islam. So Abu Bakr Siddiq starts giving the khutbah in front of the Kaaba, in front of everyone. And the people pounce on him. That how dare you start giving open da'wah in front of everyone like this. So they pounce on him, and all the other Muslims also. They started getting beaten so much. And Abu Bakr, the Prophet himself also got beaten. And Abu Bakr was getting beat the most because he was the one, at the forefront, standing in front of everyone. And Utbah ibn Rabi'ah jumped on top of him with his shoes, and he basically put them together with the soles, and he started beating the face. He's sitting on stomach of Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, pinning him down, and he's beating his face with his sandals. Okay, so as he's beating him and beating him, they said that he beat him so much that he couldn't tell his nose from his other parts, his mouth. You couldn't tell where his nose is and where his mouth is. That's how much blood, and you can imagine the skin is cut and you can't tell what's going on and is bruised up. Now, Abu Bakr Radhan is unconscious, obviously, and his family, Banu Taym, they come to the Kaaba and they take him in a cloth, they put him on top of the cloth, they carry him home, he's unconscious. And then they go back to the Kaaba and they make an announcement in front of everyone. They said that basically وَقَالُوا وَاللَّهِ لَئِن مَاتَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ, that they say that if Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu dies because of this, لَنَقْتُلَنَّ عُتْبَةَ ابْنَ رَبِيعَ, that if Abu Bakr, if our relative Abu Bakr dies from this, then Utbah will be next. Meaning we're going to retaliate, we're going to kill Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Now, they go back to Abu Bakr, they're trying to revive him, trying to get him to wake up. After a few hours of being unconscious, Abu Bakr finally wakes up, and the first thing that comes out of his mouth, ما فعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. What happened to the Prophet? How is the Prophet? And this shows the deep love that Abu Bakr that had. He didn't care about his own, he didn't care about the extreme pain I'm sure he was in. He didn't care about anything else. He said, what happened to the Prophet? Is he safe? Is he okay? ما فعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now he tells his mother that, and he refuses to eat. He says, I'm not going to eat or drink until I know what's going on. So then the mother, she goes to Jamil bint al-Khattab. This is the sister of Umar bin Khattab, and her name was Fatima. So her laqab was Jamil. So Fatima or Jamil, she goes to her and she says that my son Abu Bakr is asking about the about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, the mother was not Muslim at that time. Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu's mother was not Muslim. So she says that she's asking. He says, "I don't." She says, acting like she's not Muslim, because remember, again, she doesn't want to be tortured, and you know they don't want to publicly let people know. So she says, "Who is Muhammad, and which Muhammad are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about." And then she says, well, my son sent me to... He goes, okay, well, if you want, I can come with you to Abu Bakr, and then we can talk to him together. So she says, okay. So they go together, they go back to Abu Bakr Siddiq, radhan, and he asks Fatima, radhan, Jamil, how is ma'afa ala Rasulullah? What happened to the Prophet? And Fatima, radhan anha, looks to Abu Bakr and basically motions to the mother, saying that, you know, your mother is a kafira, she's not Muslim, so... Should I speak, or you know, what should I do? Abu Bakr says, "Don't worry. There's nothing. She won't divulge your secret. So you're safe. Your secret's safe." So she says that the Prophet ﷺ is well, and he's in the house of Al Arqam ibn Al Arqam radhiallahu anhu, and he's everything's okay. Like there's no issue. So Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu, at that point, he says that فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَنْ لَا أذوق ta'aman wala ashrab sharaban aw atiya rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will not eat or drink anything until I see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for myself. So I'm not happy with just this word that you told me he's safe, he's okay, but until I see him with my own eyes, safe and secure, I'm not going to eat or drink anything. And you can just imagine, it's been a few hours, he's unconscious, and he was beaten so severely, and now he's saying, I'm not going to eat or drink until I see the Prophet. So they actually carry him to the house of Al-Arqam, and they go, and as soon as they open the door, Rasulullah sees Abu Bakr Siddiq, he starts to cry, and he kisses Abu Bakr on his forehead, and all the Sahaba follow suit. They kiss the Abu Bakr Siddiq on the forehead, and the Prophet was so concerned over the state of Abu Bakr, because remember, he nearly died from that. And Rasulullah was so concerned. Abu Bakr, seeing the concern of the Prophet, he makes a joke to lighten the mood, and he says bi abi wa ummi, like by my mother and father, may they be sacrificed for ya Rasulullah laysa bi ba'sun illa ma nal al fasiq min wajhi. He says that there's nothing wrong, like basically don't worry about it, there's nothing wrong except if you look at my face, what he did to my face. And he's basically joking about it, trying to lighten the mood so that Prophet will not be so worried. And you see again the love of Abu Bakr radhan, he's in so much pain and he's in this state, but he's basically making a joke so the Prophet will not be worried about him. Now Abu Bakr radhan, at that point, he asks the Prophet that this is my mother, she takes very good care of me, and can you do dua to Allah for her hidayat. So Rasulullah does dua for her and calls her to Islam, gives da'wah to her on the spot in the house of Al-Arqam ibn Arqam Adhan. And the mother of Abu Bakr, her name is Salma ibn Sakhar, bint Salma bint Sakhar radhiallahu anha, she becomes Muslim on the spot in the house of Arqam radhiallahu anha. And we know that the father of Abu Bakr radhiallahu anha, he was Uthman, and his name was Uthman, and his laqab is Abu Quhafa. Okay, Abu Quhafa. He was blind, and then he becomes Muslim years later in the Fath Makkah. Excuse me. So, seeing again, you know, the different tortures that the Sahaba went through for the sake of Islam. And they weren't worried about themselves. They were always worried about the Prophet ﷺ. They were always worried that what can they do for the sake of the deen. And this is one of the things that the Sahaba, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he's well known that he had the piety, he was the most pious of all the Sahaba. He had the salawat, he had the talawat of the Quran. He had the sadaqah. He was buying slaves and buying their freedom to protect them from torture. So he's doing all this, okay, and he's giving da'wah. He was also giving da'wah. But he still felt that I need to do more for the sake of Islam. And I need to publicly go and give da'wah to Islam for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knew what's going to happen. He knew what's going to happen next. He didn't, you know, no one would say, okay, yeah, I'm just going to go and give da'wah and everyone's going to become Muslim and nothing's going to happen. He knew he was going to get beaten. And he was ready for that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to follow the footsteps of the Sahaba and give sacrifices for the sake of this deen and the da'wah of this deen, inshallah ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana anil alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.